All of us are concerned about so many things. The earthquake in Turkey and Syria, the death toll continues to climb. Now it's well over 33,000, possibly going up to 56,000, someone said. And the train derailment, several, one in Ohio with toxic chemicals, a shooting, as I record this on Tuesday, that happened yesterday at Michigan State, killing three and injuring others. The man in a U-Haul truck in Brooklyn drives up on the sidewalk, injuring how many? The concern with the balloons and other objects coming over the country. Well, we could just go on and on with these concerning situations. And so I thought it would be appropriate this morning for us to study from Judges chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, as Gideon asked this question: why then is all this befallen us? And we will study that question in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, Preparing for Eternity, of course, is what we all should be doing without question. I want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville, and I can assure you, you'll receive a warm welcome. We study God's Word in our Bible classes, and as we worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern in truth, John 4:24. Yes, we hope you will join in with us. Now, something else to mention, if you're interested in studying the Bible together, we would be most happy to set up a time at your convenience. If you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, they're always welcome. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're ready to get into our study concerning the question, why then is all this befallen us? As we go now to Judges chapter 6, we'll see the context of Gideon's question. Judges chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. They received the land promise, didn't they? And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, and here it is, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. No, God did not forsake you. It was the other way around. God's people forsook him, and that's why God allowed them to be overrun by the Midianites, to discipline them and to bring them back to where they needed to be. So we need to understand that. Well, we know what happened. Gideon would become a great leader in leading 300 men to victory over the Midianites, who were in the thousands. And so we see, of course, a great lesson there. But our study, again, is to deal with the question that Gideon asked. Why then is all this befallen us? If the Lord be with us, that shouldn't be happening, is how he was thinking, was it not? Well, do not many today say, if there is a God, why is there suffering in the world? Why was that a situation occurring there in Turkey and Syria, killing so many thousands of people? We know of other tragic situations with tornadoes and hurricanes and flooding in our own country, earthquakes, especially in Haiti. We remember these tragic events. Well, some people would ask, why am I suffering with cancer? Why was my baby born deformed? Or why was my baby born dead? Why was my son or daughter killed? Why? You just keep going on. People ask these questions, like Gideon. And you know, this brings to mind the atheist main argument. And this goes back to, I guess, this Greek philosopher Epicurus, who lived about 342 to 270 B.C., well, he was credited with stating this argument. If God wishes to prevent evil but cannot, then he's not all-powerful. If he can prevent evil but will not, then he is not good. If he has both the power and the will to eliminate evil, then why is evil in the world? This question has been dealt with down through the years. You see, this is the main argument that atheists present to prove that God does not exist. What else can they do but bring forth this negative argument? And again, the presence of evil and suffering is obviously in the world. And so when atheists introduce this evil suffering argument, they're admitting that there is a standard of righteousness or judgment, or justice, I'm sorry, in order to determine what is evil, you have to have some sort of standard or of righteousness or justice, do you not? How can they introduce evil and be consistent with their philosophy? Well, they cannot. If you're going to say there is no God, then there is no morality. Who determines what's right and wrong? Man sets up his own standard. For one, it's okay to kill a child in the womb. For others, it's not. Of course, according to God's word, it's an innocent child. It's being taken away from life. You see, everybody's left up to decide what's right in their own eyes when you take away God and his law. What about Hitler when he decided to annihilate Jews and did experiments on people and all those horrible things? Was he violating the law of Germany? You see, if you don't have a higher law, a higher standard, how can you say he did wrong? The atheists would say that he did wrong, would they not? But it has to be according to God's law. Yes. And you could just go on and on with many examples like this. So to get back to our question, why then has all this befallen us? Let's consider what God has to say. That's the way to answer it, is it not? Well, it certainly is. We know that God is love, and therefore God allows freedom of choice. 1 John 4:8. God is love, and love is going to allow man to choose to obey God or to disobey God. God is just as well as love. God is light. There are many characteristics of deity. We need to appreciate this. Isaiah 45:21, yes, God is just. And God, having given man free will, that allows man to choose to serve God or choose to serve himself or false gods, which of course is serving Satan. So as you see in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2:16-17, Adam and Eve had a choice to obey God or to disobey God. Yes, they could eat of all the trees of the garden except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst. Well, they disobeyed. Eve was giving in to temptation. Adam, just wide open-eyed, took the forbidden fruit and ate it. And they both sinned against God and were cast out of paradise. That's when evil and suffering began, and Satan's telling the lie, you shall not die. Yes. Then you had evil and suffering into the world. But you see how this answers the atheist argument. If God didn't allow us free will, we would be as puppets on a string. Who wants to have that kind of life, where you don't have any choice? Because God's going to stop everything from happening if there's going to be a tragic result. God intervenes, stops it. Well, let's just get up on the building and jump off. No need to watch when you're driving. God will prevent any accident. You see, that doesn't work. That's not going to work in life. It's no life at all. In fact, we ought to be able to appreciate that God has given us free will. And that annihilates the atheist argument. Look at Deuteronomy 30:19. Excuse me, in the Old Testament. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Well, that shouldn't be a difficult choice. That thou mayest love the Lord, verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, and that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And God kept his promise. The premillennialists are wrong, saying the land promises yet in the future. No, sir, it's fulfilled. And you see that in Joshua as well, chapter 21, especially. Now, in Revelation, in the New Testament, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's the choice. What would happen if God made us serve him and stopped evil right now? Well, for one thing, God would not be glorified by our lives. We're not serving God because we desire to do so. We have no choice. we would not have a life of our own. And no one should want to be a puppet on a string. Well, stopping evil and suffering would stop free will. That's it. Let's go on. Evil is present in the world because man has made the wrong choices. 1 John 3:4. Man should not have disobeyed God. There would be no evil had man not disobeyed God. It would continually be a paradise. So the wrong choice of others can affect us, and our wrong choices can affect others as well. Look at Pharaoh, the head of Egypt, who put his people through 10 plagues. Remember that? Study it in Exodus. The last plague was the death of everyone's firstborn child, even of the animals. What if he had said, well, God means what he says after that first plague, and not put his people through any more? But no. You see how the choice of others can affect us? And so many examples could be given. Herod killing little children, abortion by the millions. Choices affect another person's life. They keep saying it's the woman's body. It's her choice. No, it's not her body. It's another body. It's another human being that hasn't given the opportunity to enter out into the world from the mother's womb. Yes, there are so many wrong choices that affect us and others. And down through the years, look at men like Hegel, who came up with the idea that you had two forces battling each other, and that would produce something better. And Darwin saw this kind of situation and developed his theory of evolution. And Marx developed his theory of Marxism and socialism, how things battle and produce something better. Well, Freud, Dewey, many others could be cited. Their writings and teachings have affected generations. That's right. And how many others could we name? So evil is present in the world because man has made the wrong choices. Now let's deal with this question. How do we respond to suffering? How do we react to our own suffering? That's going to determine if we're hurt or if we're benefited by our suffering. How do we react to warnings? Are we hurt or helped? Do not enter. We better not. Danger. Electrical warnings and so forth. We better be heeding those warnings. How do we hold a sharp knife? By the blade or by the handle? Well, we can utilize the knife by the handle, but if we grab the blade, we're going to get hurt. So how do we respond to our suffering can determine if we're hurt or benefited. And that's suffering, isn't it? Now, notice 1 Peter 1:6-9. The following phrases. Heaviness through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith, though it be tried with fire, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Our character could not grow and our faith could not be tested without suffering. It's true that suffering can cause some people to go into despair, to quit, to turn to alcohol or drugs, to become violent, to lose their faith in God and blame God for their suffering. It's true. Many people have done just that. Job, look at all the suffering he endured. He did not sin or charge God foolishly. Job 1:22, chapter 2, verse 10. But notice what Job's wife said unto him in verse 9 of chapter 2. Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. You can see why Satan didn't take Job's wife with the rest of his family. He took all his children, 10 of them. But he left his wife because he could use her. She blamed God for all the suffering. Well, she was suffering, obviously, in the loss of her children. But that's no reason to blame God. Now, we need to understand the benefits of suffering. And this can cause our faith in God to be stronger. Job's wife, we can sympathize with losing her children. But she still should have trusted God. It was Satan behind all this. That's right. She needed to go through the fires as her husband did and come out as pure gold. Notice again, understanding the benefits of suffering can cause our faith in God to be stronger. The greatest benefit to mankind from suffering would, of course, be the vicarious suffering of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, upon the cruel cross of Calvary. Study Isaiah chapter 53. That's prophecy of Christ suffering, the suffering Savior, the rejected Savior. It was prophesied. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal life unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. The just for the unjust, 1 Peter 3:18. But now with the time left, let's ask this question, and all of us, hopefully all of us will benefit from this study. How can our personal suffering help or benefit us? Well, for one thing, suffering can help me to know myself better. Suffering causes us to look inward, doesn't it? We may not do this when things are going well. Of course, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? We need to know ourselves. And this is something suffering can help us to do. And two, suffering can help us to have a proper set of values. I can look at what is really important. I can see that it's not money that's that important. Pleasure and popularity, when I lose my good health, how important are these things? And suffering can help me see that and have a proper set of values. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Number three, suffering can help me to understand the value of prayer. I can go to my Heavenly Father if I'm a child of God, a member of the body of Christ. I can call on my Heavenly Father, like Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, giving the model prayer. Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings are where? In Christ. And we can go to our Heavenly Father, and suffering can help me understand the value of prayer. Number four, suffering can help me to be thankful for my many blessings, to be thankful to God rather than blame God for my suffering. Yes, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, suffering can help me to see how many blessings I really have. Colossians 3:17 as well. Suffering can help us, number five, to avoid self-pity. If I react to it properly, I can better appreciate someone else's suffering. Yes, as you see in Philippians 4:11, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, verse 13. Number six, suffering can help me to better understand the fatherhood of God. What a wonderful relationship I have with the Father and His children, my brethren, if I'm faithful in the Lord's church. Well, notice with me 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a blessing. Let us go on. Number seven, suffering can help us to see our weakness and God's strength. Many do not think they need God because of their prosperity. But study 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Paul benefited by his thorn in the flesh. He knew he could do so much better, realizing he needed God. Number eight, suffering can help us to realize our love for others. I can understand if I'm facing the possibility of leaving my loved ones, how much better I really can understand my love for them and others in that situation. Think about it. As Jesus was on the cross, who did he think about? He had his mother say, "This is your son." And to John, "This is your mother." Study John 19:26-27. Suffering, number nine, can help us, to help me, to look at what's really important. It little faults, not doctrinal error, but I can overlook faults by the things that we do in the home and see the good in those that we love. It helps us to love better as we see better. 1 Peter 4:8. And suffering, number 10, can cause us to repent and turn to God. It did in my case when my daughter was born with transposition of the greater vessels and needed open heart surgery at a year old. That's what happened in my case. Suffering caused me to turn to God and learn the truth and obey it. Study Luke 15:11-24. Yes, there's much suffering in the world today because of wrong choices, accidents, and other causes. But how do we react to suffering? Are we hurt or are we benefited? What is our attitude towards Jesus Christ, our Savior, who suffered and died for our sins? Eternal life in heaven will be without suffering, but those who die lost will suffer for eternity. John 5:28-29. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist you in doing so. We'll study together what we must do. And we thank you so much for listening today.